please excuse my cold. I'm returning from Peru, and I brought it with me. I have nothing to disclose. So I'd like to start by just highlighting some of our key findings that we'll be going through, which include a high prevalence of problem drinking and sexual risk behaviors among Peruvian men who have sex with men, an association between problem drinking and sexual risk behavior. There might be a potential impact of HIV care on reduction of problem drinking, and we'll just touch briefly on future directions and research priorities. So as most of us are already aware, alcohol increases risk behavior through disinhibition, impairment of decision making, and alteration of expectations with respect to sexual encounters. A number of cross-sectional studies, many from the developing world, have found associations between alcohol consumption and sexual risk behaviors. Compared with other regions, however, there are few studies among MSM and even fewer among Latin American MSM. So in Peru, alcohol consumption is often a social experience where a cup is just passed around. So it's difficult for many individuals to say how much they've drank on a particular occasion. This makes the study of alcohol use a little bit challenging. The World Health Organization estimates that about 8% of men have alcohol use disorders, and this number is increasing. But in many subpopulations, this number is dramatically higher. In some of the quote-unquote distritos emergentes, or the shanty towns of Lima, these numbers reach 22 to 33% of men with binge drinking, hazardous drinking, etc. As far as alcohol's relation to sexual risk behavior, alcohol has been independently associated with the latter. In a single case control study, alcoholism and sexual orientation were associated with HIV positivity. In Peru, the HIV epidemic is largely concentrated among MSM, where the prevalence among MSM is 11% and rising. The overall population rate prevalence is 0.4%, so we see a dramatically higher epidemic among MSM. Excuse me. The present study is therefore among the first to examine the relationship between alcohol consumption and sexual risk among this group. So what we did is collected data from 16 different neighborhoods, tended to be lower income areas of Lima, Peru. Data is collected in 2008. Essentially, you see the criteria here for study inclusion. Men between the ages of 18 and 45 with an acknowledged sexual preference toward men or a transgendered individuals. They had to live or work near the area and plan to stay in the area and be willing to provide informed consent. We also did testing for sexually transmitted infections, including HIV, HSV, syphilis, and oral rectal GC chlamydia. We conducted a computer-assisted personal interview on various domains, including healthcare-seeking behavior, sexual risk, and substance abuse. And because of sensitivities around the HIV issue, that was just an audio-assisted self-interview without the presence of an interviewer. We asked about alcohol consumption in terms of the frequency and number and level of episodic drinking. And then ultimately our scale was the CAGE questionnaire, which some of you might be familiar with. It's used in primary care. And essentially it asks four questions. Over the past year, have you attempted to cut back on your drinking? Have you been annoyed if someone criticizes you over drinking? Do you ever feel guilt over your drinking? Or do you need an eye-opener in the morning? That's a drink in the morning to sort of get over the hangover from the day before. A positive answer on two of these four indicates that, you know, you have a drinking problem, as I said. So to compare the CAGE positive and CAGE negative groups, problem drinkers versus non-problem drinkers, we performed chi-square Mann-Whitney tests and also conducted a multivariate logistic regression, which I'll show you. Here we see the number of people who responded positive for each, and basically between 50 and 60% were in the first three categories. They tried to cut down their drinking, they'd been criticized, or they'd felt guilt over their drinking, giving an overall positivity of about 58%. Just in terms of our demographics, our population was about 29 years of age, median. The majority had completed high school, and about half had been born outside of Lima. And interestingly enough, the cage-negative people in this second-to-last bar here were more commonly identified as transgender, transsexual, which is a little interesting, suggests that perhaps they were more certain in their identity and therefore less likely to drink. The median age at sexual encounter also, all these things in bold were statistically significant. The people who had problem drinking tended to have had an earlier age at sexual initiation. In terms of healthcare, the problem drinkers were less likely to have been tested for HIV in the past, and they were also less likely to report HIV at the time of the study. We'll come back to that because that was a little unexpected. In terms of other prevalence of other sexually transmitted infections, however, there were no statistically significant differences. I'd like to point out the HSV2 infection, which was quite high, two-thirds among this group, and chlamydia right under it, just a slight trend in favor of the problem drinking group. Again, syphilis, these are very high prevalence rates in this population. And then we'd see, we turn to the sexual risk behavior categories actually, and we really see a lot of associations between problem drinking and sexual risk behavior, both in terms of condom use, defined as failing to use condoms always over the past 6 months. Really, in both groups, again, very high levels of lack of condom use, 60% on average. Sexual coercion, drug and alcohol use with the last sexual encounter, sex exchange of both forms, and higher numbers of median sexual partners. All statistically significant and more associated with problem drinking than not. So in terms of our multivariate analysis, the controlling for age and controlling for all the statistically significant variables, the variables that appear to be independently associated with problem drinking included ever being forced to have sex or sexual coercion, using alcohol with the most recent sexual encounter, having been compensated for sex in the last 6 months, and reporting HIV positivity at the time of study seemed to have a protective effect, or the opposite relationship with problem drinking. So what we see is a high prevalence of problem drinking and sexual risk behaviors among Peruvian MSM. And this association, this suggests an association, once again, between problem drinking and sexual risk behavior. The number of partners, self-identity, alcohol before sex, and age at sexual initiation were also independently associated with problem drinking. Now, interestingly, I sort of highlighted this. Individuals with known HIV at the time of the study were less likely to be problem drinkers. We didn't find a difference, I'll just go back, between those individuals on the third line who were enrolled in treatment, but it was a small number in each category. But interestingly, so it suggests that people in HIV care, it might be a self-selecting group, but maybe there are treatment interventions that go on that help reduce the levels of alcohol consumption. And as far as study limitations, this is a sub-analysis of a larger study not designed to examine alcohol consumption among MSM. The study is cross-sectional, therefore causal inferences cannot be drawn. And this is something that always happens in the alcohol literature, where there's alcohol and sexual risk behavior. which precedes which. Is it the alcohol use that makes someone risky, or is someone just risky and therefore drinks a lot? It's difficult really to disentangle that association. Recall that drinking before sex was independently associated with problem drinking. Well, that might simply reflect more frequent alcohol consumption. And then, as I mentioned, the quantification of drinking in Peru is sometimes difficult given the shared social experience of consumption. Nonetheless, we might have overcome this somewhat by using a validated instrument like the cage. So in terms of the implication of this study and where to go from here, we should consider efforts to reduce problem drinking a high priority among MSM. And for HIV positive individuals, this would really impact their linkage and retention in HIV-related care. Our present study offers a unique opportunity to examine the effects of alcohol as opposed to polysubstance abuse on sexual behavior alone. I glossed over it, but in Peru, the alcohol consumption rates were about two-thirds to three-quarters, but as opposed to drug use, which was less than 10%. So there's very little drug use. Here we got to examine really the effects of alcohol alone. Interventions and further study to reduce sexual risk behaviors are highly warranted. I'd like to thank the NIH, it was the Institute of Mental Health, for supporting this project, and along with my co-authors, and most importantly, the study participants who gave their time. I'll close with, this is autumn in Lima, Peru. I was just there, and autumn in Lima, Ohio, I'm told it's pronounced. So, thank you very much.